Okay, next speaker is A.J. Bhardwaj from Michigan State University.
Hi, my name is Ajay, and I work in Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center, unfortunately now. And coming back to... My name is Ajay, and I work in Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center in hydrology of biofuels. And coming back to David's comments in early talk, whether the soils are taken as dynamic entities or the properties like moisture content dynamic as a dynamic entity, or temperature taken into consideration in all these hydrological models, I really agree with him that, you know, we have come to this stage that at least soil moisture as a dynamic property is taken into consideration in hydrological models which we use nowadays. But soil physics plays very less role, or, you know, we try to use lesser of, we try to consider these properties lesser of as influencing other processes, rather than we try to use such specific values like medians or texture more prominently to quantify how hydrologically or anything would change, would have effect on the global climate change or hydrological changes. So I agree with this comment that there should be more role for soil science in that. For this presentation, I'm talking on hydraulic conductivity of polyacrylamide treated depositional seals in the soils varying in clay mineralogy and texture. And first of all, what are depositional seals? And there are two types of seals which we are familiar with in soils: structural seals and depositional seals. Both these seals are formed by action of water. But perhaps the difference between structural and depositional seals is that structural seals are formed on the spot where drop falls in the soil. So there is aggregate slaking and movement of fine particles into the soils. On the other hand, in the depositional seals, the particles which are broken down by the drops of water, they move down downhill or along the slope, and they're deposited at depressions of flat surfaces. And these, on drying, these seals act as hydrological barriers, or barriers to the water infiltration. And a number of things have changed for that. The characteristics of depositional seals are that they have extremely low porosity, and they are dominated by silt and clay particles, only because clay particles are the ones which are easily mobile, and the sand particles are not. They have high mechanical strength and extremely low permeability. And it all affects on the hydraulic conductivity of these depositional seals. Depositional seals are very common on places like agricultural fields where we have depressions. And any landscape, we can find these seals. And wherever the water is standing after rainfall, there must be a depositional seal below that. Effects of depositional seals could be manifold: a reduction of infiltration rate, or enhancement of runoff and erosion, to be very simple. But on the other hand, because of disruption of ecological corridors by these depositional seals, we have fragmentation of habitats and many other processes arising from that. And there are a number of factors which are already quantified by different people, by me too, including texture, clay mineralogy, soil stability, which is aggregate stability, and electrolyte concentration, EC, and ESP, carbonate content, which influence the depositional seals, or they influence the seals, structure, including the structural seals. But on clay mineralogical part, I would try to stress on this one, because this presentation is about the clay mineralogical composition of the soils and what is the effect on the depositional seals in that aspect. In general, there's very less literature on the depositional seals or structural seals, the effect of clay mineralogy in particular. And because I'm talking about modification of these depositional seals with the polyacrylamide, I would also a little bit give an introduction to that. It is made of acrylamide units, and this polymer has been used for a long time for erosion control, and in agriculture, in landscape, in any other place, construction sites. The bonding mechanisms by this, this is also called as the magic polymer, basically, by the agriculturist or agricultural scientist. It neutralizes the char sites on the particle surfaces, and it bridges the particles. Metastable structures are formed by simply by providing a physical protection to the particles. There is hydrophobic bonding and osmotic attractions. All these phenomena work in different soils, and they have been quantified to what extent they provide provide effectiveness of polyacrylamide in stabilizing the aggregates of soils. The clay mineralogical controls in soil include such as clay dispersion. So we already know that montmorillonite has more is more dispersive than illite, and which is followed by colonite. On the other hand, aggregate stability is another control which is provided by mineralogy, because some of the clays, clay is a strong bonding agent, first of all. It's perhaps it's more more stronger bonding agent than organic matter. And so different clays provide different types of bonding energies to the aggregates, and so the aggregate stability changes. Different clays have different structures, so they have different expansions. 1:1 are not expanding, 2:1 are expanding because they absorb water in between their layers. And so there are different types of interlayer forces which arise. Colonite, in general, has edge-to-face attraction, and whenever there's a dispersion of colonitic clay and settling down, the colonite clay forms a house of cards type arrangement. So that arrangement makes it more porous. On the other hand, sphinctite has interlayer repulsions, which are aggravated by the cations present. So separation is easier, and then aggregation is poor in these soils. Illitic clays are almost in between the smectitic clays and colonitic clays. So So the question arises: how do we predict the characteristics of depositional seals, and how do we manage these seals in journals? And the particular objective with this study was that, because in earlier studies we found that we worked with the homoionic clays, where we replaced we placed sodium ions or calcium ions in pure clays, colonite, smectite, illite. And this one, and we found results which I will summarize in the next slide. But then the question which came to our mind actually was that whether the pure homoionic systems can work for the soils which have mixed clay mineralogies. And we hypothesized that, okay, pure homoionic systems which we worked on should replicate to represent a mixed clay mineralogy systems too. And from our homoionic systems depositional seals, we found that hydraulic conductivity varies for these depositional seals varies with its maximum colonite followed by illite or montmorillonite. And there are varied effects of sodium and calcium on the depositional seal characteristics too. PAM increases hydraulic conductivity with both sodium and calcium saturated clays. And there was no effect of saturating cations, sodium and calcium, on the depositional seals of illitic and colonitic nature. So with that background, we worked on the soils, and we used from North Carolina different four soils from different physiographic regions, mountain clay loam, and Piedmont sandy loam, coastal sandy loam, and tidewater loamy sand. And these we worked on the columns, and we packed these soils to different bulk densities, and then created depositional seals by extracting the clay-sized particles from the soil, and then using turbid waters, which are made from the same clay, to develop depositional seals, and then predicting the hydraulic characteristics of these seals. And hydraulic characteristics in this particular study I'm defining is by simple hydraulic conductivity, which is using Darcy's law. And then we also derive hydraulic resistance because in these kinds of studies, which are small column studies, though they are very representative, but The thing is, in depositional seals, it's really hard to determine the depth of depositional seal, which has developed on the surface of soil. Perhaps in upper few millimeters of soil, some clay penetrates inside too. So it just by physical, by visual observation, we cannot predict how much is the depth of soil. So we derive this formula, hydraulic resistance, which represents the hydraulic resistance of the depositional seal and not the soil, which is at the base. On the other hand, the hydraulic conductivity represents the hydraulic conductivity of the whole column. And because for the water, the arrangement was such that for the water to come out of the outlet, there need to be equilibrium between the hydraulic characteristics of the depositional seal, which is formed on the top, and the base soil. But hydraulic resistance would provide a different perspective on that. And we use the equation which was derived, and I will not go into that. These were the characteristics of four soils which we used. They varied in their texture in particular. But the clay mineralogy of these soils was interesting because tidewater loamy sand, which was close to the coastal areas, had more of smectitic clay and vermiculitic clay. Now, the total clay content in these soils is really low, but the soils are so dispersive that the minimum amount of or whatsoever amount of clay present in the soils can develop depositional seals so quickly, because we saw this in the sedimentation basins, which is one of the problems in the coastal areas because water need to be treated. And there's so much accumulation of clay at the bottom of these sedimentation basins that Department of Transportation actually assigned us this job to work on flocculation of clays there and what could be done, because they have to empty these basins so oftenly in the coastal areas, and the regulations are tighter in coastal areas because of marine environment. And then there was another soil which we used, which has the vermiculitic clay, and then the Piedmont sandy loam soil, which has again a low amount of vermiculite, and then the mountain clay loam, which had all the kaolinite as the clay mineral. And the we checked the flocculation also. If you look at the flocculation too, in the coastal soil, which is loamy sand, basically the soil is sandy soil, so there should be high permeability of the soil. But the clay which was extracted from these soils it doesn't flocculate so easily. And if you look at that, even a PAM concentration of 0.5 milligram per liter, which is pretty high, cannot flocculate even the 50% of the clay until we go to 2.5 milligram per liter of polyacrylamide use. But the other soils responded well. In general, what we found is the 0.5 milligram per liter is an appropriate. I'm already with the time. Okay. And I will come down to results, which with the hydraulic resistance. We use PAM in two different forms, dry PAM and wet PAM, a solution form. And in general, we found that the dry polyacrylamide use can actually increase the hydraulic resistance of these seals just by two phenomena. One, by blocking, making a layer which is less permeable than the depositional seal itself. And on the other hand, a solution form can work well for most of the soils, except for the loamy sand in the coastal areas, where it's still increasing the hydraulic resistance. And we found a combined effect of texture and clay mineralogy actually in the development of seals, while with the use of PAM in depositional seal mitigation, it was the texture, a mode of PAM application, which was more important and more importantly playing role. In the fine texture soil, it was very effective. On the other hand, in the coarse texture soil, dry PAM wasn't at all effective, and in fact increasing the hydraulic resistance. And thanks. How much time did I take?
Okay. Too much time. Any questions? For your hydraulic conductivity of the seal, you have an idea, like for seal itself, how high is it?
It's pretty difficult, basically.
After like the PAM treatment, I mean.
After PAM, even, see, for example, to determine the hydraulic conductivity, We have to know the, what is the depth of the seal. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's so difficult to determine. Nobody has determined the depth of seal so far accurately, and I can say nobody can. Basically, because also the particles move somewhat into the soil. So even if by deposition of particles, so you if you try to calculate the hydraulic conductivity by, you know, by knowing how much water went in, and we know how much sediments went down, and if they settle in particular area, how much would be the depth? Even that is not possible. That's why hydraulic resistance was calculated for that.
Okay, thank you. Maybe we can talk about it.